You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So I'm not here from the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, Ray Farmer, as he addressed the media for his end-of-year press conference.
End of the year, so thank you everybody for attending my end-of-the-year synopsis of how the Browns played this year. I would tell you it was invaluable for us this year in setting a foundation that we think that's going to put our team in the direction that we want to be able to achieve sustainable success. I guess the simple term for me, I would say, is the word it was necessary. You know, we went through this year, the things that we embodied and the things that we kind of accomplished this year brought us back to seeing the good and the bad. There's positive and negatives. I would tell you that there's two sides to this season. We started in a direction where there were some positives early, and then there were some negatives late. I think those are obvious, and I think in that instance, we've learned a lot about ourselves. We learned a lot about our culture. We learned a lot about that foundation that we're trying to lay, and it's not perfect right now, and it's going to require us sanding some edges and making some adjustments, and we recognize that. I would also say that it's we're obviously not happy with how things finished up at the end of the season. Our goals are to sustain winning over a long period of time here, and we fell short of that goal this year. I'd also like to say that, you know, from my point, I think it'd be a discredit to the players, the staff, the coaches, everyone that was involved in this thing, not to really requisitely look at the positives that were accomplished this year. You know, bringing meaningful football to Cleveland in the month of December is, I think, something we should hang our hats on and be positive about, as well as the ability to start to establish a culture of creating accountability. The next man up philosophy, I think, that Pet talked about during the course of the year was important for us. And moving this foundation and this franchise forward towards our goals at the end of the day is really what we're focused on here. So there's a lot of things that we really want to make sure we get across. I think that from Coach Pettine, Jimmy Haslam, Alex Shiner, myself, all believe that at the end of the day, this is about creating a culture where we consistently win. And at the end of the day, we find a way to bring championships to the city of Cleveland. So with that in mind, I'll open it up for questions.
Hey, Ray, Johnny Manziel, excuse me, yesterday talked a good game again and said he wants to be held accountable and he promises to change his behavior. Do you believe him?
I would tell you that the words don't mean anything. I'm not a big word guy. It's all about action. I think that's really where we're at in time, and I think that's for everybody. I think that's what all of our players and our coaches and our staff and everybody associated with this organization want to see. That's what our fans want to see. It's about action.
Your sample size for him on the field is very small, but do you still think he can develop into an elite quarterback?
I do think he can develop into a solid starter in this league, yes. I think that the sample size that's available is, like you said, small. And I would say to that end, we all got to be patient. Like, I think there's an opportunity for the guy to make changes, and it's up to him if he's going to make those changes. But I think the talent is in his body to accomplish that.
As far as his off-the-field stuff, I mean, isn't this what you expected when you drafted him? He's basically the same guy he was in college.
I would say there's a notation and there's an idea of what Johnny is. Some of it's true, some of it's not true. There's pieces that everybody comes to understand because that's what gets reported. And there's pieces that people don't get to understand because that's never reported. So I'll tell you that there's good and bad, and sometimes we hang our hats on the bad a little too much, but there's good in there, and there's things that he can hang his hat on to move forward with.
Ray, what are some of those good things that we don't see?
I do think that he cares. I do know he's competitive. At the end of the day, I'll be frank and candid and say that there's it's obvious, but you know he does need to grow up some, and that maturity issue is there. But beyond that, I do think that there are redeemable qualities that can help him improve himself over time.
Show you as a player to make you think that he could be a starter in the league?
The same things he showed me in college. I think he can be consistently accurate with the football. I do think he has mobility to escape the pocket. And I do think that his desire and his competitiveness give him an edge that not a lot of players have.
You've many times referred to him as you do think he can be a solid starter. Is that good enough, though?
Yes. I'd ask I don't know how many elite starters exist. In my mind, I would say there's no more than four or five of them in a league at any one point in time. So I would say that if that's the case, then the vast majority of the league plays with guys that are not elite starters. That classification, in my mind, is a very small class when we use the word elite. Say again?
You have the culture you're talking about with the three guys acting the way they did over the weekend?
Yes. Like I said, I think the foundation is heading in the right direction, but it's not perfect. This is the first year of an organization moving forward, and there's going to be times when things aren't exactly how you want them, and you got to make those adjustments and those changes as things move forward. That'll be a conversation that we have between the staff and the coaches. We'll make that determination, and then if it does happen, it'll happen in time. It won't happen today.
Can you characterize how you are proceeding with Johnny Manziel? Are you guys looking at him as, hey, you know what, we're going to develop him into our starting quarterback and we think he can be the guy, or we don't know if we can count on him and we have to find one or two other people that can start for us next year?
I would tell you that we're constantly in search for guys that we think improve our roster. So I would say all of the above. He'll be given every opportunity to contribute and compete, and he'll also have to compete against guys that, you know, could be draft choices, they could be free agent selections, they could be any number of stones that we overturn to try to find the right guy to bring in here to help improve our roster. So,
which is true, most teams don't have this elite guy.
Mm-hmm.
So we all know you and Patton love the running game. What happened to the running game in the last, you know, half of the season or whatever, and how do you fix it?
I think there's a lot of things that happen. I would also contend that it's probably a better question for Pet. From a personnel perspective, I think that we got to continue to improve our roster. We got to continue to try to find guys that that win those one-on-one battles. Football is the ultimate team game in my mind, but it's made up of a collection of individuals. And those individuals have to be able to, again, adhere to and prosper in the next man up philosophy. You never know when your name's going to be called. And regardless of the injuries, I know there was a lot made of Alex Mack going down, and I won't minimize that because I think the guy's a really, 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 really good football player. In that instance, though, he's just one piece of a puzzle, and the puzzle's got to work in unison in order for it to be successful.
There's already video of Johnny in South Beach early this morning partying, and I'm wondering, has he been cleared to leave? Isn't he supposed to be under treatment? And just your reaction if those picks are athletic.
Picks may be authentic. Everybody was allowed to leave here yesterday. They'll be back next week. Everybody was given the first several days to detox from the season, and people will be back in town starting Monday. So assuming he is in South Beach and he's down there, that's his right to have right now, and he'll be back assuming that that's what happens.
What do you think of Brian Hoyer?
What do I think of Brian Hoyer?
Yeah, his future, how he played, etc.
I think Brian Hoyer did some good things for us this year. And at the end of the day, his future is in his hands. He's a free agent. Now that the season's over, when we get to the new league year, he'll be a free agent. And he has decisions that he needs to make.
He said yesterday that he'd like to be back if he's wanted back. Mike Patton said yesterday that he's not sure that the circumstances would allow that to happen. What is your view on that?
I'd say both parties are right. I'd say if he wants to be back, that leverage is definitely in his court to make that happen. Assuming that we can agree to that deal and what that deal looks like, then that opportunity is available. If we can't come to that agreement, then he obviously would not be back. So I think that there's a lot of work to be done in that regard. And I would say from a business perspective, people don't always see eye to eye. Your value for how you see something versus my value of how I see it doesn't always come together. And that's how things don't happen. So that's something probably for Brian's agent and I to work out. And Brian will have obviously a lot of input in that. And we'll have the conversations as to how we think Brian can help our roster moving forward in the next upcoming week or so.
You thought Johnny could be a solid starter. Do you think Brian can be a solid starter? Was he for those first nine games?
For the first nine games, absolutely. I mean, he was credible, functional, gave us a chance to win games. We won some games. And again, at the end of the day, football's a team game. And, you know, I think way too often we make a lot out of the fact that this one guy was the impetus behind success. I think when you really break down the game, there's a lot of reasons that teams win and lose ball games. It's not always the quarterback's fault that he won or that he lost. It's not always his fault that he lost or he won. So As I look at it, I think it's pretty simple. A guy's got to be given the chance to compete, and if he competes and he does the things that are necessary to help us win games, then that's generally enough.
Ray, how do you think the receivers played this year?
Thought they played well.
Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Again, I'm a believer that this whole notion that you got to have this one guy that's the silver bullet is a myth. I think it's like trying to catch werewolves and vampires. They just don't exist. You know, I'm a big believer in it's a team sport. And when we combine the requisite skill sets necessary to have let guys have success, we have that success. And we saw that earlier this year, that we were missing certain key components that everybody thought were high-value targets and assets for us. But we played team football, and as a result of that, we were able to have success.
Did Josh coming back kind of mess that up in any way?
Again, no one person causes or derails anything. You know, we as a group have to overcome whatever obstacles we have, and we didn't do that late in the year. And so I wouldn't put that on Josh. I wouldn't put that on any one individual.
How do you think Mike Pettine did in his first year as head coach?
Excellent. I like Pett. I think he's a really good coach. I think that he's very deliberate with our players. He's very deliberate with his messaging. He's very aware and astute of the things that need to happen and transpire. And he carries that message forward on a daily basis. And I think the guys in the locker room respect him. I think they play their hearts out for him. And I think he was absolutely right in his comments the other day about the respect necessary for those guys that went out on the field on Sunday and tried to get us a victory in Baltimore. And granted, we came up short, but our guys played hard. And I think that's a true testament to who Mike Pettine is.
Is there anything he has to work on, do you think?
Yeah, I think we all have things to work on. I think that's part of what we're building here is that there is a level of self-accountability. I think we constantly look at each other and question, man, what did you do? Not what did you do right, but what did you do wrong? Because as we fix those things that are wrong, we'll get better. It's not about accentuating the positives all the time for us. It's about really, truly being critical and looking at the negatives for what we've done wrong this past year and trying to grow those.
Right, 16 games later, how do you assess your first draft?
I would say undetermined. I think 16. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a lot of pieces to the puzzle that came in, and there's guys that contributed. There's pieces that played and played well. There's pieces that didn't play. And so the sample size for some of those players is not great enough for anybody to say this is great, this is bad, this is whatever. Again, I'm more into the let's take our time and see where guys develop into. And at the end of the day, some guys contributed right away, other guys didn't. And I think That's a part of the process.
So John has to be back here on Monday because he's an injured guy. Is that the deal?
It's not just Monday. The guys have different time frames between Monday and next week. Some point, those guys will be back. The guys that were injured.
First round draft picks. There are, especially with what came to light this weekend, there are some concerns with character, commitment, those type of things. Will you reevaluate some of the tools you used going into this past draft as far as researching players and really understanding those type of things? Will you reevaluate that going into this draft, some of those methods you used?
We've already done it. We've already changed staff. We've changed our processes. There's a lot of things that you inherit the first year you get it. And so after the draft, we made certain changes. We made a lot of changes. We added a lot of experience to our group this year, and we changed our processes, and we changed how we do things, and we changed how we look at the players. And we've gone to some tried and true methods of some of the older scouts that we brought in because that experience matters. And so moving forward, it will be different. There will be changes to it.
I'm sorry, Ray, was there anything before the draft or around the draft about Gilbert's, whether it's called work ethic or whatever, was there any, I mean, well, Manziel, people knew the deal there. You know, there was parties and things. But Gilbert, was there anything that you were aware of here about his game preparation or any of his practices?
I would tell you that there was there were obviously things that he needed to work on, and you know those things coming in. There's also the feeling of, you know, this guy's on the right path and the right track. Did he have it? Again, like most young kids, do they have some type of issue while the time they're in college? Absolutely. But that information also stated that he had kind of turned the corner, was moving in the right direction. And so you do your research, you hang on it, and I think the easiest way to put it is there is an inexact science to this thing, but you know certain pieces and you would hope and think that you can coach and move guys past some of those small issues that they had while they were in college. Again, I still think it's early. He had his issues. People mature differently. When some of the people in this room were 18, they may have acted like they were 35. Others acted like they were 18. It's just a part of the process that people mature at different times.
Right, there's still a perception out there that no matter what you guys have said so far, that Jimmy made the call.
He didn't. He did not.
Was he the first? And you can reiterate that he was definitely the top-rated quarterback on your draft heading into the draft.
I don't get into telling anybody what was on my board. At the end of the day, Jimmy did not make the call. I know a lot of people want to stick that on Jimmy, but for the world to hear, Jimmy Haslam did not make that call. He didn't try to influence the decision. He didn't try to push it in a different direction. He did none of those things.
Great dialogue, and said Jimmy said pull the trigger and trade up the draft management.
Again, I can say 100% certainty Dow Loggins was not in the room when that discussion happened. Dow was not in that room when that discussion happened.
Ray Farmer definitively saying that it was not Jimmy Haslam making a call for the Johnny Manziel pick. We'll be back with our thoughts on his press conference along with your phone calls, 216-578-0850, when Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, returns.